You have your bulletin nearby. I encourage you to grab it. Let's look at a few announcements real briefly this evening. There's mine. Remember, the only thing taking place this week is youth group. But we do have some special things happening in the next couple weeks. Next week is Mother's Day. We're looking forward to a special fellowship between Sunday school and Sunday morning church. So, Lyle, you have to be done at 11:30. So we'll make sure we'll make sure that we have everyone out of Sunday school at 11:30 next week, and we'll have our special fellowship time. It'll be unlike anything we've ever done before. We're still doing muffins with moms. We've got some special 10:30 to 11. What'd I say? Oh, even better. But if you're not here between 10:30 and 11, I'm sorry, but as a mother, we're not going to recognize you during the service. But we want to get that out of the way ahead of time, make it a very special time during 10:30 to 11 o'clock. And you'll just have to come next week to find out what's going on. Also, the following week, then May 20th, we're looking forward to a special presentation about Awana that Sunday morning from Tim. He's going to do a 10-minute little insert, a little informational time. And then Sunday night after church, we're looking forward to our first vacation Bible school meeting number one. So we're looking forward to that as well. May 27th, we're having a special Memorial Day service. If you have ever served in the military, in the reserves, or the National Guard, or police force, whatever, we'd like to have a special little display of the time that you served. So if you happen to have a picture of you in uniform, and maybe some memorabilia, something you kept, like a hat or badges or something like that, and you'd like to share that with us, we'd like to put a display out on the foyer on that Sunday morning and have a special time of recognizing those who have served in our church and served our nation. Your bulletin this morning, there was a special insert once again, the same as was last week, about the conference expenses offering we're taking up to help send pastors to the conference. And I also need to do something else tonight. I need to introduce another offering as well. We've done this in the past, so it's nothing new, but usually we do it during the month of April, and pastor totally forgot about this year, but we need to do a camp offering scholarship. Jenny Reynolds is going to camp this year, and she's going to, once again, complete requirements for that scholarship. But starting next week then, we'll start taking up a special offering for a few weeks to help send our campers to camp, to send those that want to go to camp, help out, give them a scholarship to help fund their way to camp. It's worked fairly well for certain individuals in the past, and the only one I know of right now that's going to take advantage of it is Jenny. She's taken advantage of it in the past. She's done very good on doing the different requirements for that. So she's going to do that again this year. So starting next Sunday morning, I'll make sure it's in the bulletin for next Sunday, but we'll start doing a little camp scholarship to help fund her way and anyone else's way that wants to go to camp, provided they do all the requirements. And that's what's been done in the past. They have a booklet to fill out, a devotional booklet that's about 2 weeks long, and they have to memorize some scripture and do a work day and some other things. So it's a good thing for the teens, and I'm looking forward to working with Jenny to help her accomplish that, and anyone else that wants to as well. Yes?
How much is camp this year?
It's about 200. So it's been, it's always been about 185. But, so, prices go up, and you just got to do what you got to do. So that's about what it is this year. So we'll start that next week. Tonight, I want us to continue on in our series called the Walking Series. Last week, we took our first walk together, and if you remember correctly, we walked through the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and we were with them, and it was a gorgeous walk. We enjoyed a time walking with God through throughout the garden in the cool of the day, but we saw by the end of the walk that they had sinned, and they had been forced out of the garden. I wonder, are humans getting better? Have we learned from our mistakes? You know, you look back at the garden and you see what Adam and Eve did, and you would think that man would not want to repeat itself. But we always say, if you don't know history, history is doomed to repeat itself. And we wonder, are humans moving towards more of a loving, caring society? There are those that want us to believe that we are. There are those that are writers who have speculated that mankind is getting smarter and smarter and will one day eventually create a utopian society, a society where there is no poverty, there is no war, and so forth. They believe that war will be abolished, and poverty will become a thing of the past, and hunger will no longer be a problem, and disease will no longer be a problem, because we'll all work together, and we'll all be one great, big, happy family living on this beautiful earth. Science fiction often portrays technology leading the way to everyone living in peace and harmony. And that's the the belief of many people in the world today, but folks, let me tell you, that belief is not true. Open up your newspaper, turn on your local news, and you will realize that we are living in evil times, and it's not getting any better. So the response then, the question is, what should we do? Should we run around like chickens with our heads cut off? Should we bury our heads in the sand? Should we climb up on a mountain and wait there for Jesus to return? What exactly should we be doing? Well, obviously, we shouldn't be doing any of those things. So then there must then be a better answer, something that we should be doing. And perhaps there was someone that lived during evil times that we could look at as an example. Someone that we could say, you know, he remained firm and strong even though the rest of the world was falling apart, even though the rest of the world was all wicked, they were doing whatever they wanted and they thought they were doing right in their own eyes and so forth. And I wonder, is there an individual we can think of tonight who lived in a time when the world was completely wicked, but he was the only righteous man? Noah. Noah was the only righteous individual upon the face of the earth, the Bible tells us. And God was going to destroy the entire world. He was going to destroy the entire human race. But there was a man who lived a godly life even in the midst of evil, and that man was Noah. Would you join me this evening in Genesis chapter 6? Genesis chapter 6. Look in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. It says, and the Lord was sorry. Oh, sorry, it's verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Can you imagine God looking down upon his creation, which he created perfect? No flaws, no problems, and he looks down upon that creation, and it's just all falling apart. There's no good. There's nobody is helping out other people. No one is watching out for the interests of other people. Boy, that sounds really familiar. But, you know, living in a world where nobody cared about anybody else but themselves and about getting their own joy and their own pleasure, accomplishing their own goals, and that was all they worried about. Noah lived in that lifestyle. Noah lived in that type of a world, a lot worse even than what we live in today. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll kind of jump in here. Father in heaven, give us understanding this evening as we understand your word and apply it to our lives. Father, help us to understand that just like Noah, who lived in the days of evil, we also are living in the last days. We also are living in days of evil. And Father, that the people of Noah's time didn't know that judgment was coming. They didn't understand what Noah was trying to tell them by trying to explain to them that they need to repent. And it's so familiar to us as we go around telling people and witnessing to them, Father, that they need to repent because there's a judgment coming. Father, give us understanding this evening to apply what we learn to our lives, Father. Help us not just to have this message fall upon deaf ears. Help us not just to hear your word, but obey it and live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, maybe you're taking notes, and I hope you are, but I want us to first realize that in evil times, Noah was righteous. Noah followed through. You know, from the time that the garden was created in Genesis chapter 1 to the time that that Noah was living, there wasn't a long period of time before the perfection of the garden turned into mankind's thoughts being continuously evil. There wasn't a long period of time between that section of time. Yet during this time, this man named Noah was different. Noah was a righteous man. Verse 9 tells us in chapter 6, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah was different than the rest of the world. Noah stood out. He was different, and that was good in God's eyes, but not so great in the world's eyes. Because we understand and we know what the world does to individuals that are different. They are judged differently. They are criticized. They are made fun of and so forth. But Noah walked with God. He was perfect in his generations. He was a just man, verse 9 tells us. I don't know about you, but that's quite a testimony. That tells me that Noah was an exemplary individual. God had plans to destroy the entire human race because of their wickedness. Yet there was one man that hadn't let himself be corrupted. He had remained righteous despite what everyone else was doing. You know, our kids today are influenced, and you were also influenced and still are influenced by what culture calls peer pressure. The pressure that people try to put on you to try and change you, to conform you into what they want us to be. And the pressure to conform is all around us. There are so many different things knocking at our door and trying to get into our lifestyles to change us. The world constantly bombards us with images and philosophies and lifestyles that are contrary to the Word of God, just opposite than the way what God tells us to do. And in a day when people change their views on right or wrong based upon an opinion poll, it's very easy to go with the flow. It's very easy not to stand out. We think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There they were in the plain, and they were told that at the sound of the music, they were to bow down and worship the idol. As soon as the music played, everybody else dropped to their knees, but they remained standing. They weren't going to bow, and they were willing to go to the point of death for that, because they were going to worship their God rather than King Nebuchadnezzar. Honey, 76.3% of Americans think murder is okay. I guess murder's not bad after all. You know, our world today is telling us that these things are okay. Did you know in our culture today, abortion is okay? Doesn't say so in God's word. In our culture today, very quickly and very strongly, euthanasia is okay? Not true in God's word. You know, today there are so many different things that we could go to that the world is telling us it's okay. Social drinking is okay. I don't believe God's word says that. In our world today, cigarette smoking is okay. I don't think God's word tells us that. You know, there are so many things that the world says, that's not bad. There's no problem with that. And yet it's contrary to God's word. It's against what God's word says. And when we fall into that trap of just doing what the world says is okay, we are no longer standing out like Noah would have stood out. We are no longer different than being righteous, but we have fallen with the rest of the world. It takes a strong person, a righteous person, to stand against the overwhelming tide of public opinion. You know, Noah didn't have the opportunity to go to church and surround himself with like-minded believers. He couldn't go to his pastor or to another individual and bounce ideas off of them. Pastor, what do you think about, you know, about social drinking? Or what do you think about murder and so forth? Noah didn't have anyone like that. He had no one that he could go talk to about spiritual matters because everyone else was wicked. Noah was considered the only just, righteous man of his day. We were talking, I think it was just Wednesday night during our Bible study, that Noah's dad must have been a deadbeat dad. Because Noah's dad's name was Lamech. But do you remember who Lamech's dad was? Methuselah, who lived the longest out of any man. He lived to be 900-something. Do you remember who Methuselah's dad was? Wednesday night, guys, where are you? Enoch. Enoch didn't die. Remember, God took him to heaven without dying. And so Enoch, his son, is Methuselah. Now, what's the Bible tell us about obeying our parents and walking with God? If you obey your parents, your days should be long upon the earth. So if Methuselah watched his dad and learned how to live his life from his dad, that's why he lived so long. Lamech comes along, though, and he has, the Bible tells us in Genesis 6, under the genealogies and so forth, that Lamech had sons and daughters. That means Moses had brothers and sisters. Where were they at the time of the flood? Not in the ark. Noah was the only righteous individual God could find. So Lamech apparently didn't pass on family values to his children. Moses' brothers and sisters perished in the flood. They weren't considered righteous. They didn't walk with God the way that Noah had, and the way that Methuselah had, and the way that Enoch had. And because of that, they perished. And Lamech didn't pass on those values. I call him a deadbeat dad. He didn't do his job. He did not pass on the word of God to his children. I wonder sometimes if that's not why God allowed Methuselah to live so long, so Methuselah could be a spiritual father to Noah and teach Noah how to walk with God. Totally off the concept, but that's okay. We'll come back. Noah was in a position where people mocked him. People made fun of him because of what he was doing. They teased him for building an ark, and he would not bow down. He would not back away from that taunting. He would not back away from the task. Not only was Noah righteous during a wicked time, but during that time, he tried to call others to repentance as well. He tried to call others to righteousness as well. 2 Peter chapter 2, tells us, if I can get there. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, we'll start in verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Can you imagine Noah as he stood there and he was beating away on the boards, nailing boards and so forth, and he was putting pitch on the ark and so forth. The people would come over and they'd start making fun of him. Can you imagine the crowd gathering around Noah as he's working? You know, they're not far away, but they're probably right at his elbows. You know, here he is trying to swing the hammer, and they're all standing right around him. You know, he's all kind of squished in here. They're making fun of him. They're trying to get him to stop building the stupid boat. They're not anywhere near water. They don't know what rain is. They've never had a flood before. You know, Noah's off his rocker. He's building this boat out in the middle of nowhere. There's no water anywhere to be around. And they come along, and they begin to laugh at him. No, what are you doing, Noah? Are you really that stupid that you would think that God's going to flood the world, you know? Why are you building such a big boat out in the middle of nowhere? You're crazy, Noah. Hey, everyone, look at weird old Noah. You're foolish for believing in God anyways. You know, there is no God. God's just a figment of your imagination. If there is a God, he's a crutch. You know, it's just a big bullet of baloney and so forth. And at this point, maybe Noah would lay aside his tool. You know, it's one thing to make fun of me. It's another thing to make fun of my God. And Noah turns around and he begins to plead with them to repent of their wicked lifestyle. He begins to preach to them. I can see him preaching for quite some time and then making the offers. Friends, turn from your wicked ways and follow God. Join me in this endeavor of building this ark, and God will spare you. Many times the offer was probably made, yet no one ever took him up on it. No one ever accepted his invitation. Still, even regardless, without any converts or those joining him, he would turn back to nailing on that ark, and he'd remain faithful and righteous. Folks, the times that we live in today are very evil, yet God has called us to stand in righteousness and proclaim the truth. This world isn't going to last. Destruction is coming again. Repent and turn your hearts to Jesus. And many people in our world today will mock us for our belief. Many will say that we are stupid to believe in God. We can't see him. How do we even know he exists? He's never done anything for me. I prayed to him one time and asked him to save my grandma, and he didn't. She still died. Does that, you know, and so forth. Many will mock us for our belief. Many will think that we're crazy, but we must testify to the truth no matter what the cost. Because Noah didn't turn away, neither should we. In evil times, Noah heard God. Noah heard God. When the rest of the world was trying to vie for his attention, when the rest of the world was trying to push upon him their own opinions and try to sway him to their sides, and we hear that today in our own world today, especially as November starts coming along, we'll hear constantly people trying to sway us one side or another. But a believer must actively listen to what God is saying, what God is speaking. And Noah, he was a listening man. Look back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Genesis 6, 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and you shall set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You see, Noah knew God's voice. I don't believe this is the first time that Noah heard God. With Noah walking with God, I think Noah heard God all the time. If you were praying and God suddenly spoke to you and told you to build a boat, what would you probably do? Really? Are you sure that's really what you want me to do? I didn't mistake you. I'm pretty sure you said something about go and buy myself a boat so I can go fishing, or you said go make a coat, you know, or something like that. You didn't tell me to build a boat out in the middle of nowhere. It's never flooded before. I'm pretty sure that's not what you told me to do. It's probably things that we would say today. But Noah obeyed. It would be easy to question and doubt what God had spoken unless you were used to hearing his voice. If you knew what God's voice sounded like, certainly you would heed the voice. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, "My sheep know my voice." When we know Christ and we understand what Christ wants us to do, when he speaks to us through his word, it's not hard for us then to do what he asks us to do. But when all of a sudden something is, God says to us is so contrary to that of the rest of the world and we haven't been listening for God to speak to us, certainly we're going to doubt what he said. Noah was receiving some crazy instructions, but he listened and he accepted them because he recognized the voice of God. It was the same voice he'd been listening to for years. You know, sometimes God calls us to do things that we've never dreamed of. Things that don't make sense sometimes. Things that just seem a little crazy. We need to be confident we are hearing the Lord's voice, and that only comes from time with him. It only comes from spending time with him. When Shannon and I first started dating, we'd call each other on the phone in the evenings. And it's kind of easy to know it was her calling because it was always about the same time each night. But sometimes, just randomly, she'd call me during the day. And I'd be like, who is this? Because I didn't recognize the voice, you know? Who's calling me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something, you know? But after a while, after talking to her on the phone so many times, I began to catch on, you know, oh, it's Shanna, you know, and I recognized her voice. The world around us today is shouting at us with a whole bunch of different voices. And some we recognize and some we don't recognize, but what we definitely need to recognize is the Word of God speaking to us. Thirdly, in evil times, Noah obeyed. Noah followed through. Beyond just listening, Noah took the next step. He listened and then he obeyed. God says a lot of things to people today through his word. And the question is, do we obey? He still speaks with that still small voice. He still speaks with his word. And many people hear and listen to the voice of God, but that's all the farther it goes. Many people come to church and they hear message after message after message of God's word, but it falls upon deaf ears. They don't go out and live it. They don't apply it to their lives. God speaks about this in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22, in fact. Let me read that for you. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. There are many people in the world today that think they're good Christians because they go to church. It doesn't make you a good Christian. What makes you a good Christian is following God's word and obeying it and applying it. In our world today, many people think that just listening to the word of God once a week is good enough. It's not good enough, though, just to hear the word of God, but one also needs to obey it. A person can listen to the salvation message over and over again, but until they accept it, it does them no good. It's not until the point of them obeying it does it do them any good. How embarrassing it is for Christians today, for us when we have God's clearly defined word, and yet we still struggle to follow and obey it. He tells us plainly what to do. But then we sit back and say, yeah, that's great, but this could be better. Imagine if Noah had said that. God told Noah to build a boat. And God gave him the exact dimensions, the exact way to build it. You know, I could do a better job than God could do. I could build this boat a little better, put a motor on the back, air conditioning, 2 windows instead of 1, you know. Moses could have gone through and revamped everything God wanted him to do. But when the flood came, it was only going to be the boat that God had designed for him that was going to withstand the flood. To be people that will make it through evil times, we must learn to obey. We must learn to be faithful. And lastly, this evening, in evil times, Noah was patient. Most of you know that I'm not a very patient individual. I don't lose my temper very quickly, but I'm not a very patient individual. I like things, and I like things now. And the final area that we learn from is Noah's patience. God had given him the word to build the ark. He's given this task, And from reading the text, it appears it was going to take 120 years for Noah to build this ark, from the time God's word was given to the time that the flood happens. We see that in verse 3. There's going to be 120 years in building this ark. That's a long time to be obeying God's word. We're doing pretty good if we can do 24 hours, let alone an hour and a half or so. But that's a long time to be obeying God's word. And during that entire time, the world kept getting worse. Can you imagine what the world's going to be like in another 120 years from now? When we first moved to Kansas City, my wife's grandparents were sitting in our living room watching the news. It was like Channel 5 or something like that. And up in Iowa, over cable, you can receive the news from WGN out of Chicago. And that night, as we were watching the news, it was back in 2005 when there had been something like 350-some murders in the year, and there was one for every day of the year so far. And my wife's grandparents asked us, "Is this the news out of Chicago?" "No, that's Kansas City." Kind of threw them back a little bit. If that's what it was like in 2005, and we know we're on track for the same thing this year, imagine 120 years from now. Will it be a utopia? Will we be sharing all of our belongings and so forth? I don't think so. But Noah, over this 120 years, continued to be patiently building this ark. Imagine if you spent your entire adult life working on one project for God. While maybe God told you to spend your entire life working on a stained glass window. Don't wait till the last minute to do it. But you know, imagine spending your entire life doing one thing. And that's what Noah did with this ark. Some may have only, if they had been given this task, might have only worked a third of the time. Others, like myself, probably only would have worked a fraction of time on it. You know, start on it, you know, there's the frame, and it sits that way for the next 5 years until I get another spirit, moving of the spirit, to do a little more work, you know. It's kind of how my house remodeling goes sometimes. Things need to be fixed, you know. Do a little now, and a few days later, do a little more. A couple years later, you know, I really should get back to that. But imagine how, you know, he took 120 years. We talk a lot about our society and how our society has become a microwave culture. Everything needs to happen fast. You know, 60 years into the project, Noah was only halfway done. Good night, I'm not sure I could do that. Are we that patient? Sometimes we don't understand why God doesn't do things right now. Why hasn't the healing come now? Why hasn't my lost loved one returned now? Why hasn't Jesus come and saved us from this rotten world yet? The Lord wants us to be patient. Healing and salvation are both coming, we understand from God's word. But we need to believe and continue to be patient. We have to wait carefully and softly and wait upon Him. The same reason that Noah had to have patience and continue building day by day is the same reason we need to have patience. God has given the world a chance to repent. He wishes that none should perish. And as I said earlier, Noah was preaching to the people the entire time. And we need to continue to do that. This world may be on a downhill slide, but God wants to use the time for His glory. We're told to preach the good news to everyone, you know. And call people to repentance. Destruction may seem far off, but it is coming. Remember what Jonah's message was? He had 40 days and God's going to destroy Nineveh, you know. They had a limited amount of time to make a really fast decision. Fortunately, they made the right decision. But they had a limited time. We also have a limited time. We don't know when Christ is coming. The Bible tells us that just like in the days of Noah, men were eating and drinking and given in marriage. Days are true. It's true now too. There's coming a judgment very soon. But we realize that destruction may seem far away, but it could come at any moment. Be patient in doing the Lord's work. You may not see the fruit of your labor for years, but fruit is being developed. As you work with kids, as you work with different people, as you instill into them and disciple them and teach them God's word and spend time with them, they are getting it. It may not look like it, but they are. You know, I always tell you that when pastor preaches, he's preaching for an audience of one. And you guys just get to listen in. I'm preaching to myself tonight. I am, as I think about this, the fact that, you know, we've been praying for quite a while for a piano player and for a song leader. We've been praying for new people to come to the church, to see the church growing and so forth. And I'll admit to you that if there's anyone discouraged about not seeing it would be me first. But we are slowly building. We are slowly instilling in each other the Word of God. I'll tell you, I grasp onto the verse that says that God's Word will not return void. I could get up and preach a bomber of a message, but there will be something that you will walk away with it, and God will bring it back to your memory someday. I bank on that. When the flood finally did come upon the earth and everything was destroyed except Noah and his family, they had been saved from destruction. They had been saved from God's judgment. And it was only because of a few reasons that they were saved. First of all, it was because Noah was found to be righteous even amongst an evil world. He was willing to listen to God. He was willing to obey God. And he was willing to patiently work out God's plan, even though he saw very slow progress. You know, Noah wasn't able to go to the Home Depot or Lowe's and just buy wood and nails. He had to go cut trees down. He had to go get the pitch. He had to probably make the nails. He had to make everything from scratch. He had to fabricate it to the exact measurements that God had specifically given to him. The Bible says that he was to use gopher wood. Some translations translate it as cypress wood. I prefer to think that gopher wood was a type of wood that existed before the flood and after the flood became extinct, just like the dinosaurs. Because we don't have gopher wood today. We don't even know what gopher wood was. But we see that he was faithful in doing what God sent him to do. He was willing to patiently work out God's plan. We need to dedicate ourselves to living by these four truths in our own days. The days are wicked. We look around and you can go home tonight and turn the news on. And I can guarantee you, most likely, there's probably been another murder in our area somewhere. You know? And the world is progressively getting worse and worse. It's not getting better. The Bible tells us it will get worse and worse before it gets any better. And the only way it's going to become better is the day when Jesus steps foot on the earth and makes all things new. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for once again, not only for the example of Adam and Eve that we saw last week, but for the example of Noah. Thank you for the fact that he obeyed you. Had he not obeyed you, Father, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't exist. But because of a righteous man who lived in a wicked world and remained faithful and true to you and obeyed you and fulfilled your plan and was patient in doing it, Father, because of that righteous man, we exist today to bring you glory and honor as well. Father, may we exalt you and lift you high as Noah lifted you high and exalted you. As Noah was willing to listen and obey, Father, may we be willing to listen and obey. May we take your word that we hear on a daily basis, Father, I pray, and apply it to our lives to bring you glory and honor. May you be magnified through the things that we say and do this week. In Jesus' name.